Abend, Agenda für die Tag, Adoption of Committee Meeting, Minutes and Reports, Consideration of our first quarter next year, and a presentation by MPO on possible study tours. You will recall that we are scheduled as a committee for sometime in October or November next year. I think that's the slot that had been given to us by the Chair of Chairs. And 2012. Yeah. We were not in the 2011, we were in the 2012 group. And the sooner we get working on it, I think the better. Is there anything else that members would want to discuss? Not? Thank you very much. Minutes, we should have 7th of September's minutes. We should have 14th of September's minutes. I think the 11th of October's minutes. 12th of October's minutes. And that should bring us up to speed in terms of our minutes. I'm hoping that members have those minutes before them and you did have an opportunity to at least scrutinize them for accuracy. If we all have copies of those minutes, could we look at the minutes of the 7th of September in V475? And ask if there are any corrections on page number 1. That is really just attendance. Page number 2. Let's say 3. Page number 4.
Yes, Jay. Point 3.31. Implementability of recommendations. The first sentence. Members noted that the DCS was not in agreement.
Yes,
okay. On that page.
Thank you very much. Page number 5.
Yes, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph above 3.3.3, third line from the bottom, in addition, the detail, any related criminal investigation, in addition, the detail, something needs to be added in between there.
Okay. Two, can we put the word 2 in there?
Yeah, to any.
Okay.
Any others on page 5? Page number 6? No. Page number 7? Page number 8? Page number 9.
Yes, Chair.
Sir.
Paragraph, the bottom one. 3.3.13. It's progress, not regress.
Page number 10. Can we have somebody move the adoption of the minutes as an accurate reflection? Thank you, Mam Ngwenya. Kwele seconds that, duly adopted. Thank you so much. We move to the 14th of September, which was held in room E539. Page number 1. Page number 2. Lanță numărul 3.
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph 5, the first line, 5.1. Mr. Self reported that he, yeah, just turn around those finger error.
Any more on page number 3? Number 4?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Paragraph 8.1.1, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth sentence, heads of correctional services were discouraged from using. Okay. And then also,
yes, sir,
a full stop at the end of associated pressures, at the end of this, on top of 8.1.2.
You've got those, thank you, sir. And then finally, on page number 5.
There's a full stop after paragraph, it is now 9. The first sentence, the 31st amendment were adopted and technical amendments point.
Thank full you. Stop. Thank you so much. On that note, anybody wants to propose we adopt the minutes? Mr. Advocate Max, seconders, everybody else, thank you so much. The 11th of October, we met in the old assembly. Very short minutes. Page number 1. Thank you. Page number 2. Mr. South?
I've just got a proposal that the people that attended that particular meeting and be the delegation that goes overseas.
We'll consider it in a minute, sir. Anybody moves without that amendment, the adoption of these minutes? Movers, thank you, and seconded, thank you so much. And finally, on the 12th of October, very, very brief ones, we met in V475. Any changes on page number 1? Page number 2. Anybody moves for adoption of those minutes? Thank you very much. Thank you, seconders and the House. That brings us up to date with minutes. Thank you so much, Cindy. That deals with our minutes, ladies and gentlemen. The program, I think members have copies of that program. It's a 2-pager for the beginning of next year. And Cindy is proposing that when we get back...
Did you end the idea?
Yes.
Thank you.
Cindy's proposing that our oversight visit, when we get back, members will remember that there were a few follow-ups that we had in St. Albans, for instance, Durban, Westville. Now we can decide whether we go as a committee. We know at the time we had, for instance, given certain delegations the task of doing it. So it's really up to us, but it's really a follow-up. The only difference is that we hadn't been to Ngome, and Ngome really seems to be a problem. It really seems to be a problem. Brandvlei, just because it's next door here, we thought we'd go to Brandvlei and Zonerwater. So, one, are members in agreement, and how should we structure those oversight visits? Any comments, Mr. Self?
I have no particular problem with the centres that have been identified. But there is, I think, something that we need to start getting our head around, and that is the department building program, which, as I pointed out, has been very, very, very delayed, not only in Kimberley, but the Brunflay project, the Reinstorf project, and the Ceres project are all very, very substantially delayed. And I think it would be very good if we were able to go on site to meet with both the department and the Department of Public Works and find out what's the nature of the delays, what's the effect of the delays on the viability of the rehabilitation, and to find out whether there has been cost overruns and what's been the basis of those cost overruns.
Just repeat them, Brandfly?
It's Brandfly, it's Warren Borkefeld, which is Ceres, and it is Van Rijnstorp.
And the Oliander.
Yeah. There may be others that I'm not aware of, but those are the ones that I am aware of.
All right. There's a proposal
that we try and have on-site visits to at least those three in the Western Cape. In the Western Cape, we were going to do Brandfly, and it was just a question mark, but it's mainly for ensuring that construction, more than inmate management, per se, it's more on the construction side. Any comments on that proposal or on any of the other proposals? Yes, Ma'am Gwenya, Gwenya, Paliso, Gwele, and Makakon.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree, Chairperson, with Mr. Self, but I want to add, since Chairperson, we have started, we never have a oversight visit in Mpumalanga, the whole portfolio committee. We are depending on two members, but I feel that it is very important for all of us to visit Mpumalanga Correctional Centers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, Honorable Ngwenya, because Mamunyanda did identify some disturbing things when she visited unannounced. And Van Rijnstorp, I normally go unannounced to Van Rijnstorp because I pass Van Rijnstorp when I go to my constituency. And I don't know whether me, Mr. Self, Max is also, Honorable Max is also nearby. The three of us, if Mr. Self is not going to contest that very ruthlessly, we must the three of us must be delegated to go to fundraising stop. If the two honorable members allows me to put the proposal in front of the committee. Thanks, Chair.
Does the honorable member feel safe with the two of us?
Yeah, Chairperson, in the case of Norma, I would suggest that the whole committee should go there because there are many challenges in the different Norma.
All right. Baba?
Thank you, Chair. I was just want to speak what the Honorable Gwenya has been said, to go to my province, the committee to go to my province, as we suggest when Mrs. Nyanda spoke that day, we suggest that our first visit, let us go to Mpumalanga. I think it's in on record also. So I think also, and also, Chair, I would like to say if maybe the committee will be divided into two, sometimes that will help also.
In Mpumalanga?
No, not in Mpumalanga. In everywhere, generally, that will be help also. Also, that cost cutting. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, to what Honorable Makagula is saying, when we go to a province and there are two centers, let the one delegation be led by O Mamu O Winnie and the one delegation by the chairperson. Thanks, Chair.
All right.
What we seem to be getting is that the Western Cape, in terms of the infrastructure, Brandfly, Ceres, Van Rijnstorp, needs to be visited. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Chairperson, before Chairperson can summarize. We are in the Western Cape. Maybe we must, Chairperson, I must make a proposal also to you as the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and Cindy and Mpho sit and look the centers distances here around the Western Cape. As we are here, I think we can visit more centers in the Western Cape because we are in Cape Town. Even if a morning session of us, we go and have a portfolio committee meeting for one and a half hour, and afterwards we go into the center and go there and visit the center. So it's just a suggestion, Chair. Thanks.
Right.
No, I think we can do that. In other words, you're saying instead of having meetings here, we can have meetings on site in some of them. All right. We seem to be saying Ngoma, we're all going. We seem to be saying Mpumalanga, we're all going to Mpumalanga, but if necessary, some will go here and some will go there. Cindy. St. Albans, we had given a delegation. You want all of us to go to St. Albans? No, I'm just looking at that because Cindy will have to do the logistics. Western Cape, we're saying, can we delegate that to the three and anybody else that's available in the Western Cape? Can we do that for them? All right? If we can do that for Western Cape, then maybe we'd have to do the same thing for St. Albans and Durban Wessel. In other words, when self and company are going to Western Cape, Gwenya and her delegation, because I know that Ubaba Ndlovu also was part of that delegation, goes to St. Albans, others go to Durban Westville, just to have a one day or whatever, sort that out, Cindy. And thereafter, we then do a thorough visit to Mpumalanga and to Mpumalanga and to Ngome. Okay, so you'll have to find the best route to do that for us. Are we happy with that one? We did, yes, ma'am. Yeah. No, Cindy's saying that's dependent on whether we have money, but I'm sure that we can motivate to Frolic and Company that we do that. And that's going to be as soon as we return. Then when committees start, we had been talking for a while last year about just looking at the white paper, where there needs to be reviews in other areas where we think it's just a pipe dream, we're not going to be fitted. We're not going to be able to implement. That's in February. Then, of course, preparations for the State of the Nation address in February. Then our interaction with the department and the stakeholders being organized labor around the seven-day establishment and the challenges. Of course, we had postponed that one because they were still in delicate negotiations. Hopefully by then they would be out of it. We'll see stakeholders the week of the 22nd and the department the week thereafter. Quarterly reports, then the strategic plan for the next week, which is the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Those are the proposals that Cindy is asking for the committee to approve with the amendments that we've made so that it can be submitted. And, of course, on the basis of this, we will then request for the requisite funding. All comfortable? Thank you so much. We will then do that and alert people to the funding thereof. Before that, there is a report on our visits that members would have received. Quite a lengthy report. It took some of us some time to read it. Quite a lengthy report on the visits, the most recent visits that we would like to adopt. I'm not sure if everybody has it. We do? Visits to St. Albans and the other areas, and we'd like adoption. We had looked at it at some point, and we are now asking for the committee to adopt them. I'm not sure how you want to take it. Do you want to go page by page? It's almost 23 pages. If members have read it and want to take us to pages where they think they want changes, that's also possible, but it's quite a long report. I don't know. Can we just ask for those that have read it maybe to indicate, Mam Gwenya, are there any areas that you think we must change, or are you happy with the report as presented? Thank you. Abraham?
Chair, I wasn't part of the...
Okay. Yes, ma'am?
Okay.
Makagula?
No,
you were not part?
I was not part, but I've read it, and I think it's a very good report.
Thank you. Advocate?
No, nothing.
Thank you. Page 20, Sundi? Just a grammatical error. I think the second line on page 20, you got an outside something that looks like Greek, the courtyard. The second line on top of page 20, 6.1.2. Yeah. Okay, if you could just change that. And outside the courtyard, I don't know if that should be there at all. Yeah. That was the only thing that confused me when I was reading it. Otherwise, I was happy with it, and I concur with Mr. South that it is a report that was well written. Can we then ask for the adoption of the entire report? Mam Gwenya, and seconded by everybody. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the job. Well done. That
concludes.
Yes, sir.
Arising out of this report, there is one little issue that I would like to
raise. Yes, sir.
Chair, if one looks at paragraph 6, page 20, 614, this seems to be a, I don't know if this is...
641, you mean?
614.
Oh, okay.
Just before 62 started.
Okay.
The center was built in 1979. And it appeared as though very little preventative maintenance had been done since that time. The DPW confirmed that preventative maintenance had in the past been done through ramp projects, but that these projects were expensive and that going forward they would be done through fixed-term contracts. Now, Chairperson, I don't know what is the wisdom in having fixed-term contracts. But, you know, if one talks of preventative maintenance, one perhaps looks at infrastructure like your sewage system, your electrical reticulation, perhaps the interior within the center, the interior roads and paving and that sort of thing. One, of course, also looks at the buildings themselves. Whether the roof, for example, which IBR or zinc roof has been timelessly maintained by painting it and that sort of stuff, and painting of the buildings themselves. Now, Chairperson, you know, we seem to be developing a culture in the country where, in an institution, where we have so many able-bodied people, who could be utilized to do that kind of maintenance. Okay, perhaps you might not have an electrician there. You may have to get an outsider to come and do the job. I cannot see why looking after the buildings, keeping them in order, should be such a big problem. That you need to sign a fixed-term contract with someone, some outside firm. And unfortunately, Chair, invariably, there are always backhanders involved in these things. And instead of the job costing you one rand, you get a bill for three rand. That sort of thing. But what I'm saying, Chairperson, is whether the time has not come where there should be a mind shift, where correctional services should look at how we can utilize the inmates to do that kind of maintenance. I mean, you're not going to make them do anything where their lives are in danger. but the sort of stuff that can be done. And you only get an outside contractor to do something that is major. I don't know, Chair. When I look at the presentation that's going to be made by MCOR, I note that in those parts of the world that he's talking of, that sort of utilization of inmate labor seems to be happening. So all I'm saying, Chair, is that we must find innovative ways of getting our things done. this business of service provider, you know, get a service provider here and a service provider there, which is taking millions out of the budget that should have been utilized for other purposes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Powell?
Yes. Chair, what intrigues me about this is that it seems to depend on the centre that you go to, because when Mr. Abram and I went out to Hildesheim the other day, for which I owe you a report, the inmates were all there busy changing glass in the windows and painting and doing precisely the sort of routine maintenance stuff that, you know, Mr. Abram's talking about. Now, what I'd like to interrogate at some particular point is, what are the circumstances that are present when one centre allows them to, and that it doesn't happen in others? Is it poor management? Is it budgetary constraints? Are there different classifications of inmates? I just don't know the answer to that. But it seems that it happens some places and it doesn't happen in others.
Okay. When is the next time we're seeing the departments in these, when the quarterly report of January? The department. One. Okay. Can we maybe ask them to come in and talk to us about this matter on the 16th? Somebody that's relevant. Just what are the minimum standards and how does the one differ from the other one? As you say, maybe high center they don't want to do it, or high maximum they don't want to do it. But I think let's ask them. They have got this new project management thing. Maybe it's the opportune time now to say to them, come and talk to us about your strategy and we can input to it. Is that okay? On the 16th, we'll do that. All right, and we'll draft them and ask them. We want to have a discussion on that. Thank you so much. That then deals with that. Talking about reports, Mr. Self, members will recall that we adopted a report after much deliberation, advocate, on last week. I received a unofficial correspondence or correspondence from one of the complainants that Mr. Greener had been suspended. I don't know that we've received official, but Greener had been suspended. But there were one or two outstanding matters that maybe, Cindy, we must just write to the department and ask them to give us an official update. But it seems like the pressure that we exerted had some sort of an outcome. But that young man has been suspended. Although at some point we said they must come and respond on the full report, but maybe just to say we've got wind of his suspension, how true is that? All right, we did receive that, as I say, unofficially over the weekend. Then, on the 18th of November, the Western Cape Corrections Excellence Awards is taking place at Cronenberg Estate in Paarl at 9 o'clock. It's a black tie affair.
9 o'clock in the evening?
7 o'clock. I beg your pardon, 1900, 7 o'clock in the evening. And there had been an invitation to the chairperson and companion. The chairperson can't make it. I am now generously wanting to ask anybody that is willing to represent us there. I think it's a Friday evening, 18th of November, black tie affair at 7 o'clock at Cronenberg Estate in Paarl, and we need to RSVP to Smallburger like yesterday. I have no problem with who attends. I just think one of us should attend. Anybody?
I will stand in if
that is. Are we happy with that?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Cindy will give it to you, and she will officially also indicate that you will then be our representative there, sir. Thank you very much.
I will put on my police mail address.
Thank you. That deals with that item. Can we hand over to Mpo to to import to then there is a document that I saw. Prison systems in New York. That's the document you're talking to, is it? Yeah. All right.
Sorry, Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
I read in the Bild yesterday that a parolee who was hardly on parole for 24 hours or 48 hours had again gone to his old bad ways. I wonder if we shouldn't just request that we be given some details about what were the circumstances. Of course, not as to what he did, but what were the circumstances that contributed to him being released on parole. I think it'll be interesting just to know what went on.
What were the circumstances that led to his parole?
Well, you know, under what circumstances was the parole considered?
What is it that we really want to get?
Excuse me?
What do we really want to
get?
I'm sure they'll give us the circumstances and say he reached his date.
So that doesn't answer it. My view is that we must ask a rather more pointed question. I agree with what you're saying. But just to say, tell us on what basis he was released on parole, I'm sure they'd be able to give us a satisfactory answer. Maybe our question should be, I don't know, what have they identified in terms of the shortcomings? You release Vincent on parole, he's hardly 24 hours, and what is the lessons that they've learned? I think that's what we really want to find out, because they will be able to tell us. They'll be able to tell us that he qualified, they couldn't think, but I think it's the lessons learned that we should be saying.
You see, Chair, you know, whilst being an inmate, there are certain programs that he was subjected to. Mm-hmm. Issue here is, how did he do with those programs? They must have considered various aspects before agreeing to release him on parole. Because, you see, Chair, what is of concern is that, firstly, the time frame. That within just a couple of days of being released, the person goes out on a spree, he kills a person. And then he goes and holds a woman hostage and rapes her, according to newspaper reports. I mean, I cannot say he raped her, but that's what they report. Now, those issues, Chairperson, those are both extremely violent acts. And one wonders, how could a person, if I'm in prison and I'm released today, I'm going to try and be a good boy. I cannot be naughty. Because I know what it means, or did he do this to get back again? Is our treatment of people perhaps so good that they love to be back again instead of remaining outside? So, Chair, I don't know, if we could just sort of get a sense of how he was evaluated, did he complete all his programs, what were the evaluations?
Yeah. Which center was that, Mr. Abram?
Excuse me?
Where was he released from? Which center?
I don't know from which center, Jefferson.
He was in the papers in Burger as well.
Excuse me?
He was in the Burger as well.
I'm asking because maybe what we should do is, let's assume it's Paul Small, whatever it is, that we then ask Paul Small's parole board and the case management guy to come and see us. Yeah. We have the power to do that, whatever it is. That we ask that parole board together, because I think the link person in the department would be the case management person. So we asked them, it's because it's in the Western Cape.
No, Chair. No, this happened in Gauteng. It happened in Centurion. So it must be a person that is from somewhere around the Gauteng area. But he could be from elsewhere. One never knows. He was actually incarcerated in some other province too. Like we've seen guys in Kimberley that come from elsewhere. But if we could ask National, this appeared in the Bild yesterday morning, and I have a copy of the Bild. I can give it to Sandy.
The question that I'm asking is, should we as a committee agree on the principle that we summons the chair and the deputy chair of that committee? Remember, regardless of where they are. And if it means that they're from Mpumalanga or wherever, and we must pay them their 10 rand, we should pay them and ask them to come with the CMC of that area. Yes. I'm asking, is that because our Simpson, we'd have to foot the bill, isn't it?
It's
yeah. for the parole board chair and deputy chair, we'd have to foot the bill. But we think it's an urgent matter because we can use that as the beginning of interrogating all these type of parole boards. The question that I'm asking you, are we in agreement with that principle? If we're in agreement with that principle, then we'll ask the CMC responsible in the DCS to also be here next week with the chair and the deputy chair of those people. That's just the question that I'm asking. Oh, if it's not next week, the week thereafter, or is it a silly idea, Mr. Self?
It's not a silly idea. I just don't understand why we have to pay the bill. Because these people are in the employ of the Department of Correctional Services. And, you know, they must presumably pay out of their budget.
Well, I will look at that. Yeah.
I was going there, Chairperson, of using our funds, whereas we don't have enough funds. And then my country spoke with the department, and then because it's their baby, also for us is to call the department to come and explain. And if they failed to come with them, let them do so.
All right, we will write to the chair and the deputy chair and the parole board, and the relevant CMC to present themselves to discuss. Maybe you must give me the details so that when she writes the letter, she knows specifically what we're talking about, Mr. Abra. And we'll write to the commissioner and leave it at that. And hopefully he will put a bill for those people. As soon as possible. Next week,
we are scheduled to see the inspecting judge or get its report. Cindy just indicated to me that the minister had wanted to introduce the new inspecting judge, but they are unavailable on Wednesday. As things stand, the minister is unavailable on Wednesday. I then said, well, they must come the next week, and then we were told that the next week is a cabinet something or the other. Next week is cabinet. Other than that, she's out of the country, and I said, well, no, I don't know that we can postpone it much longer. So, first of all, we need your mandate to be able to say to the minister that it's unfortunate that she wanted to introduce the judicial inspectorate, but she can't do it next week. We really don't have time on our agenda. She'll have to find another time if she really wants to do it. I'm saying that's the proposal that we're putting to you. And secondly, because we're seeing the inspecting judge, we then could have time to see the CMC and the parole board. But we need to respond to the minister's request for next week. And I think she was almost suggesting to us, can we move the hearing to another week? But as you can hear, it can't happen in the following week. She's out of the country, and I just think that we have to look at it and at least finish our business for the year. That is what I was going to propose to Cindy, but I would need you guys to indicate what your views are on this matter.
Chairperson, we have to finish our program. And the minister has to come to the party to our program. We are not going to postpone our program or postpone any business of our portfolio committee to accommodate the executive to give us their suggestion on our program. We will see the new inspecting judge. There will be in our program where we will see or where the inspecting judge will come to the committee. So the day that he will come and appear in front of a committee, that's the day the minister is going to introduce him to us, and the minister must just look at the possible date of her program where she will be available with the inspecting judge to come to us. Thanks, Chair.
It's not as simple as that. I am hearing you. What happens next week? Who does the report? That's the question I think that Cindy and I are grappling with. Because we do not have an inspecting judge as we speak. He finished his service at the end of the month. Day before yesterday, yes. So if we insist on them presenting next week or whenever, who does that presentation for us? It's an unfortunate situation that we are in flux right now, because really it's the inspecting judge that we want to talk to more than anybody else. The question is,
who delivers the report?
Yes, next week, if we continue with the report, Mr. Self.
Chair, one, I know it's an awkward situation, and he may not want to do it in the circumstances, but actually this is Judge Fonsell's report. He's the person who actually drew it up and presumably signed it. And if we want to interrogate it meaningfully, then it has to be an interrogation of Judge Fonsell, even though he's no longer the inspecting judge. So, as I say, he may not be prepared to do it. He may, you know, say, well, I'm no longer the inspecting judge. I have no locus standi to come to Parliament. But I can't see any other way in which we could get value from a presentation other than the person who ultimately signed off on that report. So my suggestion would be, in practical terms, that we explore with Judge Fonsell whether he would be prepared to come here and deliver the report, notwithstanding the fact that he's no longer the inspecting judge.
All right.
Chairperson, I assume the inspecting judge office was not him alone there. And I think the office did have other people in the office, if I'm correct. So to me, it's a question of there must be somebody in the inspecting judge office who are also having the inside information of the inspecting judge office to come and present to us if there were staff or people who were working with him in the office. And I think every time when the inspecting judge were appearing in front of us, he was not alone. So now, I fail to understand if he's not there, the office is not closed. It is open. It is in operation. So there must be people in the office who can come to us and appear in front of us. Although I know, I agree with what Honorable Self is saying, that he was the one who prepared the report. But it was a report prepared from several visits, not from him alone, but his office was responsible for what we are going to what we read in the report. So, Chairperson, I don't know. Am I giving you?
No, we'll put it all on the table and we'll take it from there. Let's take Makakula and then Ngwenya.
Chair. I'm deaf. Let us just taking away the report from the inspecting judge until the inspecting judge has been introduced to us. Reason: it is not like he's heading a certain section in the department, but is the inspecting judge. So it speak, the whole office is about the person. So to me, now there is no one who can come and say, I'm working on behalf of the inspecting judge. The question to us, it would be, which one? So I think, Chairperson, let us just take it away until the inspecting judge has been introduced. So, and then after that, we'll call him again. Because once we can call anyone to come and present, he will be presenting lies to us, or he will be presenting something that he doesn't know. We want the expecting judge himself to come and present, I think.
Thank you, Chairperson. In our chair, this is the lesson from all of us, because I believe that a department did know that the contract of the inspecting judge is about to finish. And now we are left now with the report that
we don't know who's going to present on us. And I'm afraid, Chair, the report of the inspecting judge that is going to report it by somebody who didn't compare it. The new inspecting judge is still going to do his own oversight and start to make his own report. That's why I said, personally, I feel that we've got a challenge of this report, not asking this report to be presented before the contract of the inspecting judge terminated. That's why I said it's a lesson from us, that we mustn't do it again, leave the contract of the inspecting judge, get finished, and after we want him to report. In fact, Chairperson, there's no need for him to come and report now if it's out and there's somebody that is in. Because when he came here, he also going to claim his time to come here and maybe the resource to come here. Who's going to be responsible for him? Although we are saying the office is not for him, but there are people that are left there. We don't know even how they restructuring their offices, who's report to who, who's report to who must report or whatever. You remember, Chair, when we meet with the stakeholders, we also have that other person that used to come with the inspecting judge. If we had lived that time when this man came here to our public hearing and not giving them time to bring the report. And I remember that the inspecting judge was putting an apology that I'm preparing the report to come to the committee. But the challenge now we're facing is that the contract is finished. And the contract is finished before the inspecting judge bring his report to us. And now we've got somebody who is new. And I believe that, Chair, we never even discussed that is it the contract of the inspecting judge going to be expanded? We never do all those things. We are just coming with questions to the minister to say, since ever the inspecting judge time is expired, what is the department going to do? And meanwhile, Tina Usowa is reporting to Tungaba. We must never do this again, Chairperson. I put blame on ourselves for leaving the inspecting judge, his contract to be terminated, before bringing the report to us. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
We will have Abraham, we'll have Paliso, then we'll have Max. But just to indicate so that we discuss this in context.
Chairperson.
Hold on, before you get them up. We can't call the inspecting judge until the report is tabled and referred to us. That report was tabled only on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So it only came to us last week. So I'm saying, even if we wanted to do it, our hands were tied until it was tabled. So I'm just saying it's in that context, mm-hmm. that because we would have done it long time ago. It was just that it was only tabled on the 12th, which was last week. Yeah, it was tabled last week. So we really didn't have time. Next week was going to be as soon as possible after the tabling, if we've received it, so that everybody around here doesn't get the impression that it was us that maybe slipped up. It was just the system and the process and the fact that the inspecting judge's term expired during the tabling. Mr. Abraham, and then Paliso, and then Max, you'll be the last, and then we'll take a decision.
Chairperson, I'm of the view that this document is prepared by the Office of the Inspector General. That office is created in terms of a statute. Now, to me, it is irrelevant who the inspecting judge is, the person of the inspecting judge. It is the office that counts. Whoever takes over, or in our case now, next week, if the new inspecting judge is not available, it's not our problem. We want the office of the inspecting judge to come and make a presentation on the report of the office of the inspectorate. For example, Chairperson, we've had a cabinet reshuffle. And it happened in the midst of, I think, the tabling of reports and annual reports and all sorts of things. If I look at somebody that was, for example, given the track pass yesterday, and the committee sits today and there's a new minister appointed, that minister has to come here and is naturally reliant on his office and the staff there to guide him. So the office carries on, Chair. In other words, the stage is set. It is remaining there. The characters will change. So I think we must view it that way, Chair. That if we have an invitation sent to them that they should come here next week, we expect them to be here. If the new inspecting judge is not available, hard luck, somebody from his office. I think Mr. Raga had been the official that has come here many times. And Gideon Morris used to be here most of the time, and he's gone. No, he's gone. Gideon Morris is gone. But I mean, Raga is there. It's not our problem. Our difficulty, it's not a difficulty. We are inviting the office of the inspecting judge to come and report on this, well, highlight issues that we wish to be highlighted when the representative is here. So, Chairperson, that's it. We don't have to be concerned about the fact that the new inspecting judge was not the author and he wouldn't know. That's not our problem. And I think my learned friend will perhaps give us the legal situation. But with my limited knowledge of how these things work, I believe that that's a procedure, Chair. For example, if you want to question something that happened in the Department of Public Works prior to last week, you will have to ask the current minister. I mean, you know, if you take the trappings, you must draw the coach. That's how it works, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also agree with the view that we can't take the an era of administration. We came here as the fourth parliament, and we had to take responsibility of the third parliament. That's it. Chairperson, there is a deputy minister also in the department. If there is the minister is not going to be available, there is a deputy minister. If the need is so urgent for us that the inspecting judge must be introduced to us. There is a deputy minister, and I don't think the commissioner is going also with the minister abroad or is going to move around with the minister when the minister is not around. So for us, it's not to burden ourselves with the availability of the minister. It's not going to. They are available because there is a deputy minister, there is a commissioner to come and appear in front of us if not appear to come and introduce the new inspecting judge to us, Chairperson. And I agree with Honorable Abraham. I said earlier, the office was not one person. Thanks, Chair.
Advocate.
It is already, I'm already covered with the inputs of Member Abraham and Paliso. I just want to say that, yes, the new incumbent assumes all responsibilities of the office, and there can't be any problems with regards to that. MECs, ministers are being replaced, and then you take all responsibilities. The other thing is, if you want the inspecting judge to appear, you just invite that inspecting judge, and if he's not available, he will apologize, and the office will come and make the presentation. We must not invite the office and leave the inspecting judge. If the inspecting judge has already been appointed in terms of the law, then obviously then he or she can apologize, but the office is then available. Just to add things.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I think everybody has made a point. I'll just make my own one, and then we can take a decision. You know, I somehow meet Mr. Self halfway. I hear his understanding because, you know, first of all, Gideon was they don't have an accounting officer. They don't have an accounting officer. They just have an individual, I think it was a director, who left, and there was somebody acting who took over recently. And when we have this discussion, if we'd want a meaningful discussion, as Mr. Self is talking about, because really, I mean, the theory we can read in there. For me, what is meaningful is the relationship between the minister and the inspecting judge, or the ministry or the department and the inspecting judge. I don't know that any of those young men would be able to do it, because they don't interact directly with the ministry. They're able to tell us so many people died, so many. That's common knowledge. Ours is what happens going forward. So it would have been useful if the inspecting judge was here, because he's then able to say to us, no, I'm failing because this one is not contributing, or I'm failing because whatever. Somebody, and it's not Racha, it's somebody else. It's Carlos, sir, who's really just been a regional manager somewhere else in Northern Cape, I mean, Northern, wherever he's now taken over recently. They're busy restructuring. That department is in a real flux. Now, if we want to do it just for the sake of crossing and dotting, we can do that. But I don't think we'll get real meaningful contributions out of that. That's my view. Nobody knows what's happening there. They are busy restructuring as we speak. They are in the process of shortlisting a CEO, so they really don't even have an accounting officer. So if we are doing it for doing its sake, what are we doing? Are we just also just complying, but not coming out with anything meaningful? So I would want to propose, not because the minister is available or not available, or this one is available or not available. I just really think, and I don't know that there's going to be any institutional problem that we'd have, Cindy, if we postponed this thing. I mean, our BRR report is in. Normally it incorporates that type of thing because it's part of it. I just think that we need to have a serious discussion. This is a serious office. With serious issues that are coming out of it. We're talking about torture next week or the week thereafter, so we shouldn't take the office and its responsibilities lightly. So we could call officials. I don't think it's going to be any meaningful exercise for us. The inspecting judge, even if he was available, would not be able to respond to us. I'm saying the current one. He wouldn't, because he just doesn't know. It'd probably be his first interaction. So my question is, do we still want to do this thing, or do we want to say, let's put it on ice and deal with it as part of our court? Because we have said to them they must come and see us quarterly, as the department comes and sees us quarterly. So instead of having an annual one, we incorporate it in their first quarterly report. I don't know. We've slotted them in. There's no time. I just don't think, Mr. Self, we must call somebody that's not going to add value to our process. I'm not sure that Vuka Shabalala would be able to do that. I'm not sure that Carlos will be able to do that. Regardless of who introduces Justice Shabalala, he will just come here and say, I'm Shabalala, and that will be about it. So my firm proposal will be the one that Makagula, having taken everything into account, with Makagula's one, and say, look, hopefully by the next quarterly meeting, which is sometime in February, I think, that at that point we asked the inspecting judge just to come and give us their own vision, their own, hopefully they would have put in a CEO, they would put in their restructuring, and then start on a fresh foot, Mangwenya, and make sure that we don't have a situation where we have this type of lapse in the future. That's my proposal, that we can this hearing next week, and but make sure that they accompany the department at the quarterly meeting, I think in February or whenever. That's my proposal. Or are people still adamant we want to have it next week? I will buy the next one.
No, Chairperson, you have covered us.
Happiness? Thank you.
Cindy, all right. I think what we need to say is to write to the department and say we're postponing it, but we don't have to say we're postponing it because the minister's not available, because I don't think that is the issue. We're postponing it, and we will interact with them at the first quarterly meeting. I think that's what we must be saying to them. Because you're correct, it can't be if the minister's not available, nobody else can present or introduce. So ours would be that we will see them and deal with all matters at their first quarterly meeting before the end of February. Okay. So which means that next week we don't have any business as the committee. We meet the week thereafter, I think, isn't it? We meet the week thereafter, the 16th, so we don't have business next week. Finally, we received an invite from the Portfolio Committee on Police, inviting us to a meeting on Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 9:30 to 1 o'clock. And it looks like they've called justice, they've called police, they've called the entire justice cluster to talk about the progress with the criminal justice system, including the departments. So they've called the Portfolio Committee and the departments. So they've written to Correctional Services saying, come and tell us about it, and Justice and everybody else, and they're asking us as the Portfolio Committee to attend on the 22nd. Sir.
As you would know, I mean, this is something that we've talked about having, you know, for some time. And I remember going to one previously, about 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know whether Winnie was there at the time. But it was over 3 days. And I just worry about what is going to happen in the morning. I don't know whether we're wasting our time to try and unpack the criminal justice system and all its manifest and manifold faults and problems and challenges in the space of a morning. 3 departments, 3 committees. I wonder whether you shouldn't have a word with Cindy and see whether, you know, they can't reconceptualize it a bit.
Okay. All right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. No, we'll talk to her. We'll meet and just say to her, the idea is good, but our committee is suggesting that we need more time, if we are serious about it. All right. We shall talk to her, but I agree. For a morning for 3 departments, maybe.
No, can't.
All right.
Manira Abra.
You see, I agree that you won't be able to do justice. What I would like to know, though, is whether they have any reports or documents or solid proposals that they want to discuss on that particular day. If it's a question of just an agenda and, you know, free for all, I'm afraid we've had so many of them, they take you nowhere. But if there is a structured thing, a report, documents, and, you know, telling us exactly what we are going to discuss, then, Chairperson, it can be a meaningful discussion. So I would suggest, Chair, that we first ask. And if that is not available, Chair, then I believe it's, you know, it's not going to bear much fruit. Thank you, Chair.
No, the answer is it's not. The letter says, to answer
your question as we speak, there isn't. The letter says, this invitation has been extended to Department of Correctional Services, and it had been requested to prepare a presentation on how this matter relates to them and their implementation plan. So as we speak, there isn't one. I think they will do as they normally do with us, go away and sit and prepare and bring it the week before the hearing. But regardless of whether they brought it the week before the hearing, Mr. Self's point of, can you, between 9:30 and 1 o'clock, look at all the departments? Kako.
Chairperson, we are serving in 2 committees. Tuesday we are serving to the other committees, Wednesday we are serving to the other committees. So we value every meeting that we go. This one, I think the chairperson of that portfolio committee didn't think very well when he sent this meeting. When he sent this letter. Oh, she didn't think very well when she sent this invitation. We had a committee on our own, Committee of Correctional Services. We've got our own chairperson. We know things that we are discussing every day. So we need to be taken very seriously. If you want us in your portfolio committee, give us an idea. Give us something that we know. How are we going to present ourselves there? So now, Chairperson, I think she's lost. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
Please don't record that part. That was off the record, Baba. At the back. No, we'll talk to Cindy and ask her. I think it's a legitimate thing that says one day, one morning is not enough. We would rather have it, even if it's over one day, preferably 2 days, if you want to. We'll talk to her and ask her to reconsider her agenda. We will do that during the course of today, and we will then inform you accordingly. The last agenda item, and Paul, it's yours. Mm-hmm. It is 11 o'clock. If by 11:45, we can be out of here, but.
Thanks, Chairperson, and morning once more. I believe members, in front of them, they've got two documents, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a detailed document and a PowerPoint presentation. On the detailed document, members should not be surprised if it's dated 15 April, because this document was prepared at that time and it was forwarded to members at that stage. I think we would focus on the PowerPoint presentation. This presentation, Chairperson, will focus on three states in three countries as possible areas for our study tour. This includes Queensland in Australia, England and Wales in the UK, and New York, US. Among other things, the presentation will look at offender population, private prisons, female offenders and mothers with babies, parole boards, and offenders with mental health challenges. These countries were chosen, among other things, on the availability and accessibility of information. And the presentation serves to provide members with a picture of what is happening in those countries, and is not intended to serve on its own as a study tour, but just to give members a picture of what is happening in those countries. Firstly, we'll focus on Queensland in Australia, which has got six states: New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania, Victoria, and Western Australia. And each state has its own legislature or parliament, and the head of government in each state is the premier. And this presentation will pay attention to Queensland as a state.
Seven states.
Oh, okay. Queensland is regulated through Correctional Service Act 2006, which was passed in May for that of that particular year. Correctional Service Regulation, Constitution of Australia 1900, and other related legislation. There are 18 correctional centres, including two private prisons. 10 centres are high security, and 8 are low security facilities. And 6 of those low security facilities are attached to high security centers. Looking at their 2008 and 9 annual report, they've reported that they had 5,596 offenders. For their 2010-11, they've got 5,537 offenders, meaning that the prison population is stable. There were 4 unnatural deaths in 2008 and 9. And in the same period, 5 offenders escaped in low-security facilities, and all of them were recaptured and returned to high-security facilities. Queensland is, in terms of private prisons in Queensland, this is said to be the first Australian state to contract out prison management to private sector. And the first private prison was opened in January 1990. And has 492 bed space. It was built at a cost of $22 million dollars. Initial contract for this prison was for 3 years period with option to renew for a further 2 years. Unlike in our case, which is 25 years. The second private prison was opened soon after 1992, and it is a high security prison, used for remand prisoners and also for temporary detention of prisoners whilst awaiting their security classification. This has got 710 bed space, and the contract for this facility was for a period of 5 years with a renewable option for a further 2 years. In terms of parole system in Queensland, they've indicated that parole is the only form of release available to prisoners in Queensland, and prisoners, especially those serving sentence of less than 3 years, have to serve the entire sentence handed down by the court, either in custody or in the community, and it is the court who gives prisoners parole release date. And those who sentenced for more serious crimes or sentenced to more than 3 years must apply to a parole board for release on parole. The parole boards are also independent, and they are appointed by the governor in council for a period of up to 3 years, and they are also eligible for reappointment. And the board consists of 7 members and includes a president and a deputy president, each of whom is either a retired judge or a lawyer who has practiced for 5 years or more. And the role of the parole board in Queensland is to determine whether eligible offenders are ready for supervised release into the community. They've got what is known as victim register. This register, which is an information service intended to provide information of violent and sexual crimes against the person who offended against them, the victims, and registration is only available to people who are actual victims of violent or sexual crimes, immediate family members of deceased victim, or a parent of a victim who is under the age of 18. Information that can be provided includes offender's eligible date for release, the correctional center in which the offender is incarcerated, the result for application for parole, and information about an offender's escape or death. So it means this victim register can be accessed by those direct victims or their immediate family members, and if they want to know any information about the offender in that particular correctional facility. And the victim can also make a presentation during an offender's application for parole, which is something which is also applicable in our country. In terms of female offenders and mothers with babies, female offenders constitute a very small proportion of prison population in Queensland and are housed in 4 facilities for women offenders. In terms of the Queensland Correctional Service procedure, it stipulates that women offenders cannot be classified as maximum security offenders. And majority of female offenders are white and were born in Australia and are between the ages of 20 and 39. And the major offenses for these women include fraud and misappropriation, homicide, assaults, and drug offenses. Of course, there are facilities for mothers and babies. In 2 facilities, Townsville and Brisbane, two facilities can each accommodate up to 8 mothers and babies, and babies can be with their mothers until they reach the age of 4, when they have to be placed in foster care or with relatives. Going to England and Wales. England and Wales is 2 of the countries in the United Kingdom. These two are usually treated as a single unit for most purposes, because they form the constitutional successor to the former Kingdom of England. In England and Wales, there are 134 prisons with space for 87,690 offenders. By March 2011, there were 85,454 offenders incarcerated in England and Wales, meaning there's no overcrowding. 81,202 were males and 4,252 were females. There are 14 correctional, in terms of female offenders with mothers, female offenders and mothers with babies, 14 correctional facilities are situated in England for females, 7 mother and baby units in England and Wales correctional systems, and 2 facilities keep babies with mothers up to the age of 9 months, and others are up to the age of 18 months. In South Africa, it's up to the age of 2 years. In terms of the parole boards for England and Wales, They were established in 1968 under the Criminal Justice Act of 1967, and its role is to make risk assessment about prisoners and decide who may safely be released. The board fulfills three functions. Firstly, whether to release indeterminate and some determinate sentence offenders. Secondly, the board reviews circumstances in which sentenced offenders have been recalled to prison for alleged or actual reoffending or breach of license during probation period, and decides whether the offender needs to be re-released or stay in prison. And thirdly, the board make recommendations to the Secretary of State for the transfer of indeterminate or sentenced prisoners from a closed prison to an open prison. I think it can be from maximum to a low security facility.
Sorry, Chair, can I just ask, what does mean indeterminate?
Indeterminate, I think mostly it will be those who, because determinate obviously it means you've got a sentence of 5 years. No, so it has been determined.
Yeah,
so indeterminate. In most cases, I think it will be habitual criminal, if I'm right.
Them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Indefinite.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. By March 2010, the parole board had 216 members, of which most are part time, and the parole board. Rule 2004, as amended in 2009, requires the board to convene a panel of up to 3 members to make a decision or a recommendation. Although the parole board has 216 members, it doesn't mean all of them have to be there to make a decision. As long as you've got a panel of 3 members, they can make decision in terms of granting parole or refusing parole for an inmate. And members are appointed for a period of 3 years with a further 3-year reappointment, which is subject to positive appraisal.
Sorry, can I just ask?
Yeah.
A minimum of 3 members. Now, what is the total membership of a parole board?
216. From 216,
oh.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean all of them have to be there at one stage. And parole system in England and Wales does not have an appeal process. However, the board can repanel cases where appropriate. And if a party to proceedings wish to challenge a decision of the parole board, then the only option is to seek judicial review. They've got also the Inspectorate for Prisons. In our case, it's the Judicial Inspectorate. And Her Majesty's Inspectorate is an independent inspectorate, which reports on conditions for and treatment of those in prison and immigration detention facilities. But I believe in our case, the Office of the Inspecting Judge does not go to the our Lindellas and all those places. But in England and Wales, they also go to immigration facilities. And Chief Inspectorate is appointed for a period of 5 years and reports directly to the Justice Secretary and the Minister. The Inspectorate also report to Home Secretary on conditions and treatment in all immigration facilities. In terms of the private prisons in England and Wales, they were introduced in the early 90s and the first being opened in April 1992. Currently there are 11 private prisons with accommodation for 9,000 offenders, meaning these private prisons are small prisons in nature, because if they are 11 and they accommodate 9,000 offenders, because in our case we've got 2, but they accommodate more than 6,000. So it means in that case they've got small, manageable private facilities. And 9 facilities were financed, built, and run by private sector, while the other 2 were financed and built by the public sector, which is the government, but are run by the private sector. It means the government has built the prison, and the private sector is running those prisons. And one of the private prisons housed women only, and was built specifically for that purpose, to accommodate female offenders. in terms of reducing repeat offending? I think the issue of repeat offending is one of the central issues for correctional service in England and Wales. And as a result, they have developed 9 pathways to deal with the issue of reoffending. Among them includes issues of accommodation, which they believe is that the belief for that is that getting offenders into a stable accommodation is the foundation for successful reintegration back into the community, and it also serves to ensure that the risk is managed efficiently. They also address issues of education, training, and employment, with the aim of which the aim is to provide offenders with skills that can be used after release. They also address issues of health, drugs, and alcohol, which is something that mostly leads to offenders or those released reoffending. Issues of finance, benefit, and debt, how to manage your finances. Issues of children and families, attitude, thinking, and behavior. Women affected by abuse and violence, and women involved in prostitution. So those are the 9 pathways that they deal with in terms of dealing with the issue of repeat offending. The last state is the New York prison system. American prison system has its origin in New York in the early 19th century. And at the time, the authorities felt that prisoners had to be compelled to work, since if you restrict offenders in their cells the whole day, I mean, they contribute nothing to their own confinement. And authorities at the time felt that since prisoners were working the whole day, then their cells could be used, could be made smaller, and only for the purpose of sleeping. I mean, this is one of the things that has been advocated by Office of the Inspecting Judge, in particular Gideon Morris, that we need to use our cells specifically for sleeping purposes, you know, to deal with the issue of overcrowding, the impact of overcrowding. But if the offenders sit idle the whole day, that's how they and where they feel the issue of overcrowding. So in New York, they felt that the cells can only be used specifically for sleeping purposes, because during the day, offenders have to go out and work. At the end of December 2010, last year, 58,000 offenders were incarcerated in facilities in New York. 95.8% were males, 4.2% were females, and an average offender was 37 years old. Those who are 21 years old constituted only 5%, while 60 years and old only constituted 3% of the total population. In terms of mothers and babies, newborn babies are allowed with their mothers in facilities unless the mother is certified physically unfit to care for the baby by the medical officer. And babies can remain in prison with their mothers until the baby is 1 year old. And from there, the baby can be removed to either the relative or the foster care. And the baby can be removed anytime from the facility, depending on circumstances, by the officer in charge of that particular institution. In terms of offenders with mental illness, the observation is that the prison psychiatric hospital was opened in 1980 and has never been expanded since then, despite the fact that the number of offenders with mental illness increased. Since 1991, the number of inmates with mental illness in New York State prisons has grown by 71%. And the available data shows that by December 2003, approximately 7,500 inmates were assigned to mental health caseload. And it was estimated at the time that 3,200 inmates on mental health caseload had a major mental disorder, such as schizophrenia, and so on and so forth, which required long-term psychiatric treatment. And because of limited residential treatment programs, most inmates with mental illness are housed in general inmates in maximum security facilities with the total population. And often those inmates are isolated by other offenders, they are stigmatized, you know, and they are easily victimized because of their mental illness. You remember one case in when we had our oversight visit, we saw that particular young man. I think it was in Gauteng, you know. So in most cases, these offenders need to have their own special facility, you know, so that the other offenders would not take advantage of those inmates. Parole system in New York State, the parole division was established in 1930, wherein a full-time board of parole was created, and it was given the responsibility to decide on parole release of inmates from prison. And in New York, the board consists of 19 members, each member appointed by the governor for a period of 6-year term. And the typical panel consists of 2 or 3 members only. And the board is said to have 2 responsibilities, one being case-by-case screening of inmates being considered for parole, and also to establish a condition of release for each person under parole supervision. And conditions are uniquely tailored to meet each individual's inmate's needs or in terms of release on parole. That's the end of the presentation. Thanks, Shepherd.
All right. Questions of clarity and guidance in terms of what we should be looking at in terms of trying to kickstart our application for next year? Or else, if you feel that there's a need for further looking broader than these three, that's also fine. So anybody on any one of these, anything. Self, Makagula, Ngwenya.
Yes, Chair.
Abraham.
Thank you very much indeed. And Paul's done a great job in summarizing, I think, the three different systems. They all seem to have the same features, do they not? And so, I mean, certainly from my point of view, I think we could profitably go to any one of those locations and learn a great deal about how they deal with them. But there are some things which I think I certainly would like to see added to the menu of things that we look at. And the first would be how they deal with alternative sentencing as a concept. In other words, it's important to look at the prisons themselves, but it's also looking at strategies for reducing the prison population, of which alternative sentencing is an important feature. And in particular in the United Kingdom, I know they've got a string of alternative sentences, bonding over, house arrest, all sorts of things that they use in an attempt to try and keep appropriate people out of prison. So that would be one of the things that I think that one should look at. And specifically, I know in respect of New York, the minister and her management team went over last year, about this time last year, to look at tracking devices and how they worked. Now, tracking devices in South Africa is a bit like the unicorn, you know, much spoken about, seldom cited. And I would like to myself know far more about how these things work and whether they have applicability in South Africa. In a certain extent, I suppose we'll be retracing the minister's steps, but that's always useful if we're an oversight committee.
Makakula.
Thank you, Chair. Seemingly, you've got a lot of information from Queenstown in terms of the Queensland. Queensland, yeah. Australia one. according to the document. But also, I felt that the information is relevant. And when you check also the England, Wales, is also interesting. It's also interesting, and it also having some challenges. And I know that maybe if you just dig, keep on digging, there are a lot of information that you get it from there. And also in America, New York, if you keep on digging, you're going to get a lot of information there, because we used to see things that are happening in TVs. You know, America in, on the spotlight. Indeed, we want and we wish to go and check there. But to me, Chairperson, I don't think it would be a problem, because it would be our first visit, to visit two countries that are nearby. Like when you check in this instance, United Kingdom, Wales, and New York, they are not that much vast. They are too close. And then we can use 1 week in England and the other week in America.
But I can't, Jay. But I can't.
why I'm saying this, we did this with the other committee. We go to Bolivia, we go to Chile and Bolivia. You look the distance is similar. You look the distance is similar. And then also, if maybe we felt that no, America is too far, we look England and the other country next to England, so that we can we can just
compare
which one is good than the other one. So rather than to focus in one country, it's only that you can just look. There is this Iceland in England, is it?
Ireland.
Next to England, also there is that country. Which one next to England? There are a lot of countries. Scotland, a lot of countries next to England. So we go to England, and then we go to the other country. Also, even the America is not that much far. It's not that much far. So just try to do that. Not just to go for one country, and we don't compare with the other country. It will need us 5 years again to go out to look for the other country. So please just look around. I think it's
thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the presentation, Mbo. Nobu amunati wa itikuta hore. Ngaru tswa ding, the way you were presenting this. Yes, Chairperson, is true that we need also to go out for the challenges that we are facing in the correctional service. Maybe to learn and get an idea of how are we going to change our centers. And Chair, I think maybe now this is not going to be a problem again for us in Parliament. There's a challenge for Correctional Service Portfolio Committee. I don't know why, or they don't take this Portfolio Committee serious. If other committees, they used to go oversight outside the country twice a year, but for us always there's some excuses refusing our request. That's why we were not going to change this center, because the Parliament doesn't take our work serious. Chairperson, I was listening to the presentation in terms of the contract of building their center, and try to check why they know how to make a contract of 3 years. Meanwhile, we're struggling with this 25 years contract, and it shows, Chair, that
we never gave a chance to go other, to other countries to make our centers better. Because even now we are struggling with this 25 years, but not knowing that is it true or false, we're just looking at this 25 years as a ho-ho, as big money, and we always allow department to do things that we don't have even idea of it. That's why we're falling on this 25 years contract. Just imagine if they know how to make a contract of 3 years, Jefferson, is much, much, much more than what we have done here in South Africa. So we've got a challenge, Jefferson. We need to go out to assist the department. And a department is always going out, and I don't think that they're helping us so much with their oversight visit. We also need to go out at least twice a year. I want to talk about Mr. Makakula, about the nearest or whatever. I don't have idea, Comrade Makakula. But I agree with you, because once we lose this opportunity, Chair, I don't think that we'll get another opportunity. Therefore, I support him about going to... Why are you laughing? You know, everybody's laughing, Chair, because they know that next day we are going to get stories.
Yeah, redeployment.
You know, I think Jefferson, now we're not going to get stories. Really, is hurting us, the thing of Parliament not allowing correctional service to go out. We feel bad. We feel that they take us useless, and I feel that we are not useless. We're doing our best in this portfolio committee. We'll ask Jefferson to give a chance, really. And another thing I was checking in terms of the center of the female. Moreover, in South Africa, we don't have much centers of the female, because all our centers are not built for the female. They is the center that have built for the men, as if it's only men that doing wrong things. And the way they... not the way they plan for the children, that the children can stay 4 years in the center before they remove the child from the mother. And Tina is 2 years. And you may ask yourself, ukuthi umntwana ona 2 years, usefanele yini ukuthi ahlukane noma wakhe? We just agree with something that we don't have clear understanding of it, Jefferson. So we wanted to make our oversight thoroughly, so that we can do our best in our correctional center. And the parole board also, when we check it, is much, much, much different than the parole board that we are having. So there's a lot that we wanted to learn about it, Chair. It's not about touring. Maybe the thing that when we want to go out, want to tour, we're not touring here. We want to work and want to learn more to make South Africa as a safety correctionally a center more than what is it. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
None of you helped us very much, except to say that we think we want the two country concept. I think what we will do, Cindy and Mpo, it might be stretching me to say UK and USA. If we look at the UK, we can look at some areas around the European Union, because, I mean, going from London to Germany is the hour, 2 hours. And then also give us another option. If you take the New York one, which one would you propose close to there? And the third one, if you take the Australian one, which one you propose? So that will be the two. I think we're agreeing in principle that we need to do that. But we also
addition,
you'll add this. You'll add this in just now. We're also saying that in these things, it's important that we look at the electronic monitoring in all of them. So if you're looking at the USA, you better find one that maybe has this concept. If it's New York, it's fine. If you go to London, they don't have it. The next one should have something like that or close to it, and including alternate sentences. But I think use those three as our base, and one to compare it with in that type of, of,
or fashion. And I don't think we need to have another discussion about it. We've agreed in principle, and we are all saying that all of them would learn something from the base. So just look at those type of things, and maybe me, you, and Cindy can just have a quick discussion about it, and then Cindy can do the necessary in terms of doing the presentations, the applications. Well.
Thank you, Captain. Another thing that maybe you need to check when you go and ask for us, just check that how many people that are going to allow to go there. Since ever the whole committee never get a chance. If possible, then I'll propose that the whole committee need to go. Thank you, Chief.
No, we agree. Yeah. We will take the best case scenario that all of us go and they must argue down. So that's what we'll apply for everybody. For the entire 2 weeks.
To gain that experience.
Can we close it up at that? Yes, sir.
Sorry, Chair. I want to thank him for a very comprehensive presentation. Chairperson, you know, before I can make up my mind that where it would be the best to go, regarding the three presentations, there's some interesting figures here. Now, if we talk of the state of Queensland, what I would like to know is what is the population of Queensland, because in this slide number 6, Mpo gives us the prison population. As in 2008-09, it was 5596 offenders, and more or less the same number in 2010-11. Seems to be a very static population in those 2 years. You see, I want to measure that against the total population of the particular state. Where this is a state prison, I get the impression, or prisons. And then, Chairperson, whether it is so that with regard to England and Wales, am I now talking of Great Britain? Is that Great Britain? Now, when we talk of Great Britain, Chair, and we look at their prison population, they're talking here of 134 prisons there. I think we've got 240-something or something close to that. And they've got 87,000 offenders. They've got space for 87,000 offenders. And there were, in March 2011, 85,000 offenders. Now, that is against the population of, I think Great Britain is, what, about 60, 70, somewhere there. As far as I can recall, but if we could just make sure. And then, Chair, the state of New York. There again, there comes out a very interesting figure in terms of the prison population. But again, another disturbing figure, and that is that a significant number of them seem to have mental problems. What would be interesting to determine, Chair, is what is the population of New York, because they seem to have approximately 58,000 offenders, of whom 95.8% were males. Chairperson, you know, when one hears, when we go to facilities in our country and you talk to people, you seem to get the impression that our entire system seems to have many gaps. Yeah. And whilst this visit is proposed to take place, that is, if the powers that be at Parliament allow it, my brother, in November next year, I think that's what I read somewhere. So it's still a year to go, Chair. But there are certain things arising from these presentations that one can start looking at very seriously, even before we go and have a look at it ourselves. One of them, Chairperson, is this whole issue about the various systems that they have, differing from country to country, with regard to parolees. And I'm intrigued by the fact that in one of these countries I read that there's a parole board of 216 people.
Mm.
Now, is that a single parole board where people are then utilized to... I take it that they live in that particular country in various locations, and depending on where a need arises, they are then sent there. Whereas we now have separate parole boards, sort of so-called independent for specific areas. What I also note here, Chairperson, and I'm mentioning these things, Chair, because I feel that in the new year, we need to seriously look at these things. Many of our people are being prejudiced because the parole boards, I mean, I say it with all due respect, Chairperson, when I saw a couple of the people that sit on these boards, I asked myself, is this the kind of material that you need? Here again, Chairperson, we note that the people have some or other background. I mean, if there is a priest involved, I'll be happy with it, because at least he has a specific kind of background which he can sort of try and pass over to the parolee. So, Chairperson, whether we should not look at a complete overhaul of our parole system and how our parole boards operate. Because, as I say, we hear many complaints of people complaining about the fact that when they apply for parole, it's being considered until thy kingdom comes. It never happens. It takes months, years, whatever. Many people incarcerated at the moment, sir, who should have been paroled, who are still there. So we are actually, in fact, I hope the press is not here, but we are actually infringing upon the constitutional rights of certain people. If a clever Jack there decides that he's going to take the matter to the Constitutional Court, we may have to answer as a country. So, Chairperson, that is an area that's of immense interest that we can look at without even the visit. I hope the visit comes. But if we're going to wait for the visit and then try and do something, Chair, it'll be 2014 in no time, and we wouldn't have achieved much. The other issue that is of interest here that we need to look at is that in New York, for example, the parole board have two responsibilities: a case-by-case screening of inmates, and to establish the conditions under which each one can go, which differ from case to case, I take it. And then, of course, Chairperson, that the conditions are tailored to meet the specific needs of the particular person, which I think is extremely important. I get the impression that in our country it is one size fits all. I mean, we have a certain set criteria. If people qualify, well and good. We are not looking at these issues. And I think if you want to have a strong rehabilitative component, you need to look at specific ways and means of doing it. Now, one of the things that you hear in our country very easily is, yeah, but, you know, we don't have the human resources to look at each one. We can't do this, we can't do that. I think, Chairperson, it's a constitutional imperative. Those people are our responsibility, and as a country, we need to see that we look at their unique situations. The issue, Chairperson, of utilizing inmate labor. I see that in New York, this was very interesting to me, this one that was boxed in on the first page about inmates being awoken and marched to work. Now, yet again, Chairperson, you'll get this feeble excuse that we don't have enough people to look after them when they have to go and work or whatever. I'm not saying that these people must go and work outside of the prison environment. But, Chairperson, the commissioner mentioned that they are looking at that model where they create a trading entity. We are not spending sufficient resources nor are we paying sufficient attention to making these inmates useful citizens by getting them engaged in doing something where they will benefit. Well, we were told the other day that, yeah, they do get a little stipend or a gratuity or something. But I don't think, Chairperson, from our visits, that we are doing it as a sort of a mission. And this is what we want to achieve. It is just, you know, to the officials, it's just a case of, it's part of my duty. I've got to do this, that, or the other. That aspect, Chairperson, also needs to be addressed by us, even before going on this particular visit. Finally, Chairperson, these countries that are mentioned here are basically all, they're old countries, they're old democracies. We haven't looked here at the possibility, for example, if you go to Australia, of looking at the some of the Asian countries very close to Australia. To see how they are doing things. It would be very interesting if we could perhaps look at that aspect, Chair, and perhaps team up, as my brother Mr. Magagula says, you know, a couple of countries that are within a region when we go out there. So, Chairperson, I think to respond to your overall question, yes, we would like to have a visit, where we can learn and bring home ideas. But yes, in the interim, Chair, I don't think that some of our systems which are failing our people should be left as they are. We should attend to them. And I've only mentioned two categories, but there may be other things too that we need to look at. I mean, for example, females, the question of children. When Mpo talks here of a particular country where most of the inmates are between 20 and 39, the women inmates, I was asking myself now, did they come and conceive inside the prison or what? Because they don't seem to be there for a very long period. But Chairperson, yeah, that would be my humble submission, that we start looking at these things now. And the quality of person, Chairperson, that we appoint on parole boards definitely needs total revisiting. We don't have the right material. There may be here and there exceptions, but we need to look at this very seriously, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That having been the last agenda item, I think we'll note the stuff that has come out in terms of proposals. And as time goes along, we'll keep you up to date in terms of the success or the failure rate that we are getting from the powers that be on these matters. But we will take all that into consideration between Mpo and Cindy and myself. We don't meet next week. As a committee, our next meeting would be the week thereafter, Cindy, I think, is it? And on the 16th. Thank you very much, everybody, and the meeting is adjourned.
I'm worried about the levy. If we lost there, you're going to add to the overcrowding, man.
Have you lost, are you?